Fayette is fortunate to have a local FM radio station, KPIP, which is the flagship program of a nonprofit organization, International Educational Resources for Rural Missouri, or IERRM, whose mission is to cultivate and nurture community educational radio in and around Fayette. In addition to offering content developed elsewhere, KPIP is proud to feature local programming and look to area residents to offer their perspectives on topics of interest to them and their friends and neighbors. The following programming does just this, as it engages local citizenry, who are the experts on the area's history because they have lived it. This series is called Howard County Remembers and builds on work done when the county celebrated its 200th birthday in 2016. That year, a fine publication entitled Howard County, Missouri, From Prairie Land to Promised Land, A Remembrance Across Two Centuries, was released. This radio series embellishes on the extensive information contained in that book, which may be found at the Howard County Public Library. To back up, though, the genesis of these programs was inspired by this year's celebration of the state's bicentennial. While Howard County was organized by an act of the General Assembly of the Territory of Missouri in 1816, it was followed 5 years later in 1821 when Missouri was recognized as a state by the United States Congress, making 2021 Missouri's bicentennial year. We decided to tie together these two historically close occasions by focusing on aspects of Howard County's history and keep these in KPIP archives, as well as offer audios of the broadcast to the State of Missouri Historical Society to keep in its archives. Today, you will hear about what is perhaps Howard County's biggest claim to fame, as the start of the Santa Fe Trail is located in southwestern Howard County. And in addition to 2021 being Missouri's bicentennial, it is also the 200th anniversary of the start of the Santa Fe Trail. But while the history of the Santa Fe Trail is gripping, so is the story of the Boone's Lick Road, which preceded it and shares its trailhead, but ran east to the St. Charles area. What is it about this area that resulted in the intersection of these two important trails? To answer this, we will hear about how Daniel Boone's two sons built a profitable business boiling salt and transporting that product down the Missouri River on flatboats to sell in the East. We're sure most listeners know some of the story, and many will know a lot about this piece of Howard County history, but this session lays it all out in one place. This program was written by Don Cullimore and is based on a section he wrote for the 2016 book, From Prairie Land to Promised Land, A Remembrance Across Two Centuries. Don has a career spanning more than 60 years as a newspaper man, magazine editor, and public information specialist. He retired from Central Methodist University in June 2011 after serving 14 years as public relations and publications director. Since then, he has served as editor of the Quarterly Journal of the Boone's Lick Historical Society. He and his wife, Carlene, are residents of Fayette. I, David Holman, will now take you through the history of our area as it relates to the Santa Fe Trail and the Boone's Lick Road. I'm a retired mental health counselor who lives in Fayette and volunteers with 94.7 KPIP in several capacities, including on-air announcer and technical support person for other volunteers at the station. Today's episode is called A Tale of Two Trails, the Santa Fe Trail and the Boone's Lick Road. Let's start with the early history of what came to be called the Boone's Lick Road. In 1805, Daniel Boone's sons, Nathan Boone and Daniel Morgan Boone, seized on Nathan's recent discovery of a salt lick in what is now Howard County. They soon established a sizable salt boiling operation at this site, transporting the salt to downstream markets near St. Charles by flatboat. The land route they traveled started as a Native American trace. However, as travel increased, it grew to be a trail across eastern Missouri. During this time, they began to describe the bounteous country surrounding the Boone's Lick. Their stories stirred migration fever in the most intrepid settlers.
The trail that Nathan and Daniel Boone had cut in the early 1800s led settlers to fertile lands near the Salt Lick. The pioneers called this area Boone's Lick. Almost overnight, the town of Franklin appeared and boomed along the northern edge of the Missouri River, several miles south of Boone's Salt Lick. By 1819, the town was second only in size to St. Louis and was the hub of trade, industry, and commerce in the Boone's Lick country. The route that had been gradually extending westward with limited traffic suddenly had to handle thousands moving west with their wagons, families, and livestock. What for a short time may have been best described as a trail, by necessity was now a road. Stage routes were established for mail service and passenger travel. It was destined to play a crucial role in the development of the Santa Fe trade. In August 1821, the United States welcomed Missouri as the 24th state in the Union. The early territorial counties were divided into many new ones. The Boone's Lick Road crossed six of these counties, St. Charles, Warren, Montgomery, Callaway, Boone, and Howard. The early trails that formed the Boone's Lick Road continued to grow and evolve to meet the changing needs of the communities they served. Sections of the road foreshadowed the National Road and Interstate 70 in the centuries that followed. So why was salt so important? Salt, sodium chloride, salt of the earth indeed, a mineral essential to human life, to animal life. And it was a mineral essential to the 19th century frontier economy emerging in what became Howard County in the Boone's Lick region of north central Missouri, and to the broader frontier economy emerging in the Louisiana-Missouri Territory following the Louisiana Purchase Treaty of 1803. In the Boone's Lick, in the valley of Salt Creek, numerous saline springs seeped to the surface, attracting wildlife such as deer, elk, and bison that would gather at the springs and literally lick the ground to obtain the salt. Lewis and Clark noted that there was a, quote, large lick and salt spring at great strength, end quote, in the area. In addition to game, the area around this salt lick had an abundance of timber, fertile river bottoms for farming, and as noted earlier, the bordering Missouri River served as a water highway for commerce. It was an ideal region for settlement and soon became the primary destination of American settlers moving west between 1815 and 1835. In 1820, the Franklin, Missouri Intelligencer described the area as follows: fresh and salt springs, a fertile soil, and a healthy climate, which are not often united together, with the cheapness of provisions, render it as desirable to immigrants as any other section of the western county. The start of the Santa Fe Trail in 1821 at Franklin eventually led to its linkage at the western edge of Missouri with other historic trails that carried the bulk of migrating Americans westward, the California and Oregon trails, trails the Mormons also followed partway as they sought final refuge from persecution in the Midwest by settling in the Great Salt Lake Basin of Utah. But before these trails were established and began carrying large-scale migration to the west, the Santa Fe Trail served as a route of commerce and military transport to the southwest. The economic importance of the Santa Fe Trail, especially to the state of Missouri during the early to mid-19th century, is well documented. The 800-mile-long trail also made possible transcontinental trade connections between the United States and Spanish Mexico, linking Howard County to the latter through the El Camino Real de Torre Adentro, the Royal Road of the interior lands that extended south from Santa Fe for 1,600 miles to Spain's colonial capital at Mexico City. Excessive land speculation in the western states and territories led to price inflation by 1819. Land purchased on credit was sold and resold over and over without actual payments being made. Finally, the economy collapsed, and the resulting depression known as the Panic of 1819 was felt in Missouri Territory by the latter half of 1820. Because land was no longer marketable and farm produce had no buyers, immigration to the Boone's Lick country halted. Gold and silver coin, or specie, fled the country and prices fell. Merchants went bankrupt and many frontier boom towns went bust. Bankers produced their own notes, but most were unredeemable, which led Missourians to distrust banks for their soft money. Existing banks failed, and no new banks were established in Missouri for another 17 years. Desperate to stave off prosecution for his debts, explorer and soldier William Becknell took out an ad in the July 25, 1821 issue of the Missouri Intelligencer newspaper. It read in part, quote, "An article for the government of a company of men destined to the westward for purposes of trading for horses and mules and catching wild animals of every description that we think advantageous to the company," end quote. Each man was to stake $10 worth of merchandise for the trip. The ad was a first step in what would become the first successful trading venture to Santa Fe with lasting economic consequences. Becknell's return to Franklin from Santa Fe in January of 1822 marked the true opening of the Santa Fe Trail. A written account at the time quoted Mr. H.H. Harris' reminiscences about Becknell's return. "My father saw them unload when they returned, and when their rawhide packages of silver dollars were dumped on the sidewalk, one of the men cut the thongs and the money spilled out clinking on the stone pavement and rolled into the gutter." Bucknell was already planning a return trip for the sole purpose of carrying trade goods to Santa Fe. In the spring of 1822, three trading expeditions left Franklin bound for Santa Fe. Becknell's party took three wagons loaded with goods, the first of many wheeled conveyances to be used on the trail. Economically depressed Missouri finally had an outlet for the surplus merchandise that had accumulated as the result of the Panic of 1819. Geography and topography also fostered the growth of trade. Being at the westernmost edge of American settlement, the Boone-Slick country was poised to take advantage of the new trade relations. Merchant and explorer Josiah Gregg reported in 1844 that "the town of Franklin on the Missouri River seems truly to have been the cradle of our trade, and in conjunction with several neighboring towns continued to furnish the greater number of these adventurous traders." Records indicate that some residents of Columbia, Boonville, New Franklin, Fayette, Glasgow, Jonesboro, Napton, and Arrow Rock had investments and connections with the Santa Fe trade well into the 1850s. From 1822 to 1827, the yearly amount of merchandise taken to Santa Fe was approximately $50,000 in Eastern prices. From 1838 to 1843, the amount of merchandise exported was approximately $200,000 annually. In 1824, Franklin trader Augustus Storrs reported that his merchandise consisted of cotton goods, coarse and fine cambrics, calicoes, domestic shawls, handkerchiefs, steam loom shirtings, and cotton hose, a few woolen goods consisting of super blues, stroudings, police cloths and shawls, crepes, bombazettes, some light articles of cutlery, silk shawls, and looking glasses. The principal articles that were returned to Missouri were fur, livestock, specie, and small amounts of raw wool. Coarse Mexican blankets were occasionally in demand on the frontier. Of greater long-term consequences to Missouri was the livestock, consisting of horses, jacks, jennies, and mules. As early as 1823, the Cooper family of Howard County brought back over 400 mules to Missouri. Those numbers increased in 1825 to 600 mules, in 1827 to 800 mules, and in 1832 over 1,300 mules. Missourians began crossing Mexican jacks with the fine mares they had brought with them from Kentucky and Tennessee, thus establishing the mule industry in Missouri. By the 1850s, Missouri mules were widely shipped to the southern states for use on cotton plantations. By 1880, Missouri was the nation's leading mule-producing state. Regarding the Santa Fe Trail's bicentennial, on September 1st, the Missouri River Outfitters chapter of the Santa Fe Trail Association is planning an event to acknowledge the departure of William Becknell, known as Father of the Santa Fe Trail, and his companions. They will host a short program where a member of the Arrow Rock Stock and Trading Company, Steve Hart, will do a first-person interpretation of William Becknell. Events begin at 9 a.m. at the site of the SFTA markers, which is Highway 87, a half mile west from the junction with Highway 5 at Old Franklin. You've been listening to Howard County Remembers on 94.7 KPIP. This episode, entitled A Tale of Two Trails, the Santa Fe Trail and the Boonslick Road, was written and developed by Jane Krigler, Don Cullimore, and Rachel Steele. This show was directed by Jane Krigler, produced by Rachel Steele, and presented by me, David Holman. Information used in this program was collected from the published writings of Michael Dickey and David Sapp. This program has been made possible by the Boonslick Historical Society and is endorsed by the Missouri State Historical Society as part of its bicentennial celebration. Howard County Remembers airs at 10 a.m. every second and fourth Saturday of the month on 94.7 KPIP, Howard County's local, nonprofit, volunteer radio station. This is 94.7 KPIP, Howard County's educational nonprofit radio station. Thank you for tuning in.
I'm back in the saddle again, out where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly jimson weed. I'm back in the saddle again, riding the range once more, toting my old 44, where you sleep out every night and the only law is right. Back in the saddle again, whoopee tie, I-oh, rocking to and fro. Back in the saddle again, whoopee tie, I go my way. Back in the saddle again. I'm back in the saddle again, out where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly jimson weed. I'm back in the saddle again, riding the range once more, toting my old 44, where you sleep out every night and the only law is right. Back in the saddle again, whoopee tie, I-oh, rocking to and fro. Back in the saddle again, whoopee tie, I go my way. Back in the saddle again.
Looking mighty pale, was standing by the sheriff's side. And when that sheriff said, I'm sending you to jail, Wildcat raised his head and cried, oh, give me land, lots of land under starry skies above. Don't fence me in, let me ride through the wide open country that I love. Don't fence me in, let me be by myself in the evening breeze. Listen to the murmur of the cottonwood trees. Send me off forever, but I ask you please, don't fence me in, just turn me loose. Let me straddle my old saddle underneath the western skies. On my cayuse, let me wander over yonder till I see the mountains rise. I want to ride to the ridge where the west commences and gaze at the moon until I lose my senses. I can't look at hobbles and I can't stand fences. Don't fence me in. Ride through the wild country that I love. Don't fence me in. Let me be by myself in the evening breeze. Listen to the murmur of the cottonwood trees. Send me off forever, but I ask you please, don't fence me in. Just turn me loose. Let me straddle my old saddle underneath the western skies. On my cayuse, let me wander over yonder till I see the mountains rise. I want to ride to the ridge where the west commences and gaze at the moon until I lose my senses. I can't look at hobbles and I can't stand fences. Don't fence me in.
Thanks for listening to Howard County's number one educational nonprofit radio station, 94.7 KPIP.
Come on and throw away your troubles, cast them to the moon, and sell all your worries for free. 'Cause there's a great day coming, can't you hear them all humming? It's a cowboy jubilee. If you've got lots of leisure time and nothing else to do, and want to be happy as we, just grab your hat, get your boots on, pretty soon you'll be long gone to that cowboy jubilee. Just hear that cowboy band a-playing. You know your blues won't mean a thing when you get in the swing. A cowboy's life is for me. Soon all your cares you'll be shedding, and like me you'll be heading to that cowboy jubilee.
Bob got locked up Sunday. They've got him in the jailhouse way downtown. He's in the jailhouse now. He's in the jailhouse now. I told him once or twice to quit playing cards and shooting dice. He's in the jailhouse now. Ooh, he call poker, pinochle, whist, and yoker, but shooting dice was his greatest game. Now he's downtown in jail, nobody to go his bail. The judge done said that he refused a fine. He's in the jailhouse now. He's in the jailhouse now. I told him once or twice to quit playing cards and shooting dice. He's in the jailhouse now. Ali-oli. 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 We took in every cabaret in town. We're in the jailhouse now. We're in the jailhouse now. I told the judge right to his face, we didn't like to see this place. We're in the jailhouse now. Ali-oli.
Stay tuned for more from Howard County's own radio station, 94.7 KPIP.
All day I face the barren waste without the taste of water, cool water. Old Dan and I with throats burned dry and souls that cry for water, cool, clear water. The nights are cool and I'm a fool, each star's a pool of water, cool. And with the dawn I'll wake and yawn and carry on to water, cool, clear water. Keep a moving, Dan, don't you listen to him, Dan. He's the devil, not a man. And he spreads the burning sand with water. Dan, can you see that big green tree where the water's running free and it's waiting there for you and me? The shadows sway and seem to say, tonight we pray for water, cool water. And way up there he'll hear our prayer and show us where there's water. Moving, Dan, don't you listen to him, Dan. He's the devil, not a man. And he spreads the burning sand with water. Dan, can you see that big green tree where the water's running free and it's waiting there for you and me? Cool.
variety of music and talk, keep it here on 94.7 KPIP.